Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
He got in for a sequel.
Yeah.
I guess he did good enough to...
Yeah, you brought me back for the second time. You really didn't have much of a choice.
Yeah, but we're still just sitting here. If you can't tell, we're wearing the same clothes. So, but yeah, glad to be back. We're going to do a little shout out here.
Okay.
And this is, I'll be honest, this is a little bit like late. We probably should have done it earlier, but I'm going to give a shout out to Grayson.
Ah,
Grayson was our summer intern.
Yes.
And when he started, which I think by now his dad is working here, yeah?
Yeah, his dad is now going to be on, is now on staff here.
Yeah,
his
as
of August the 1st.
Okay, so, well, by the time this drops, he'll be on staff.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Grayson's dad is now on staff with us, which was not the plan when Grayson came here.
No.
So Grayson's entire life and family, like he came here to intern and now his dad's following him not too long after.
Yeah.
And in the meanwhile, Darren goes up and resigns. And so
a lot of life has happened.
What a summer for this guy. And there was a moment where pretty much the whole team was on vacation and Grayson was literally holding down the fort
all by himself.
He preached on 4th of July weekend because I wasn't here. Darren wasn't here. Ben just got back from Greece. So.
And Kaylee was here, but she was... had just gotten back from
that we all had, yeah. So Grayson's the only one who didn't get a vacation this summer, so I just want to give him a shout out.
He is a great guy.
Yeah.
And you know
what's
so crazy is I knew his parents before they were married.
Oh, okay.
In fact, his mom was our kids' pastor.
There you go.
At our church in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So yeah, it runs really deep. I'm looking forward to having him here.
It'll be cool to have him back.
Amazing people.
It's weird that I'll have known like his son, you know, and spent more time with his son than him, but and they're from Oklahoma.
They are.
So it means they're Thunder fans, which I automatically.
He is a big Thunder fan. Actually, Julie's a bigger Thunder fan than
there
Gibson.
You go.
And Grayson's much better looking than his dad.
Bro, we know. We're glad that he's gone to just spare girls.
That's right.
And all the things. Yeah. But Grayson, shout out to you. I'll send you this episode when it drops. So hopefully you're listening to it. We're going to talk again about the pathway.
Okay.
If you didn't say it all in the last episode.
I didn't say a ton, but I said
some. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it. That was like the pathway like overview. Yep. Now, and again, like I said in the last episode, you know, if people don't know, you have some youth ministry experience yourself.
I do, 12 years.
How have you seen the pathway played out in like a youth ministry context? So what are some explore things that have either here or historically for you like worked well, and then connect, like as we work back through that, like how does that play itself out with teenagers?
So, you know, I think one of the things I love about the pathway is you can be so incredibly creative in student ministry with it,
yeah.
right? And that's what I loved about being a youth pastor when we were thinking about pathway stuff.
Yeah.
And I know you guys use a lot of social media as a part of this explore phase,
and,
you know, really trying to engage students who may not engage in any other form of religious activity.
Yeah, but if we can get on their phone,
and they're on their phone and you can somehow, they can encounter some of the things you guys are doing through that, which I love. That's such
a great
thing.
Really cool too is we'll get our own students like in here or out, you know, in our lobby or whatever, filming stuff. And so then my hope is if they find themselves like featured, you know, later down the road, they might share it with a friend or like those types of things.
Yeah.
So,
which is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So social media is, I know, is what, one of the things
were you doing that in 2004?
No, I don't think there was even social media that even existed. I don't think phones even existed. Pagers did.
There you go.
Pagers did. So, we did like target nights. We do things, these really creative, outreach oriented events, like one Wednesday night every month.
Yeah,
and we would really challenge our growth-oriented kids, our ministry-focused kids, to really who are people in their top five and have them invite.
That they're targeting?
That they were targeting.
So not the store.
Not the store.
Target
just
a name or a friend.
A friend
and your
invite
goal
them.
Is to invite them.
Yeah. And then we would do these great outreaches. One time we did this huge, it was like, schools from, we had like six or seven high schools.
Oh, that's fun.
And so we would have them all come in and we would do Krispy Kreme donuts.
Okay.
And which school could eat the most amount of Krispy Kreme donuts? And then we would put them on a big scale and weigh them after they ate it.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and it was great. And then we'd do, you know, we'd share the gospel, but then we would say, hey, you probably were brought by a friend who loves you. and they're going to follow up with you this week. And,
yeah.
Because we wanted to put it back on the students.
I love, Dare to Share calls that the reverse altar call.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, they'll get a kid in there, they'll tease like the gospel, and then be like, but your friend who brought you, they really want to share Jesus with
That's
you.
Right.
Put it right back on that student. They're like, wait, what? Yeah, yep. I love that.
Yeah.
So
we did that. And then, you know, like Connect, when I think about Connect, I mean, man, what you leaders are doing every Sunday morning is so critical to the pathway, because it's really helping students to connect on those three levels that we talked about: connecting to Christ, connecting to church, connecting to community, and connecting to a cause. I mean,
yep.
they're getting connected in that
environment. And there's so much power in like community,
yes.
like being connected with friends. Like that's why people don't leave churches.
Right.
Right? Like, because my friends are here.
Yep.
If they don't have friends, they're probably not gonna stay.
Yeah.
So
yeah. In fact, most people don't only leave because they either don't have friends or they're in a conflict and they can't get it, they don't choose to want to get it resolved.
Right.
Right?
But yeah.
But I man, you guys do a great job of that. I mean, honestly, that was what we did. We utilized sometimes we would utilize some short-term studies that we'd invite kids to, maybe that were on that had just come out of the explore phase, or we would have them invite them into a group. We didn't call them connect groups, but
right. Same idea.
Yeah, same idea.
So a lot of churches have like almost every church in this country probably has like a small group system of sorts.
Yep.
And we talk about around here, like our pathway, Disciple First, like we talk about the three C's as opposed to like a 2C model. So like a 2C model is like the big C's congregation,
right?
And so that's the worship service.
Yep.
Everyone goes to that.
Yep.
Every church
service,
has that pretty much.
Yep.
And then the second C in a 2C model is they go into small groups.
Mm-hmm.
And here we say we're a 3C model, which is distinct. So help flesh that out a little bit, because that second C in a 3C model, which is connect groups, is distinctly different than what happens in a grow group.
Yes.
And a lot of what happens in a grow group is where a lot of like that growth and accountability and all that like continuity happens. In a 2C model, you have to try and accomplish all of that in a small group setting. So help explain kind of that difference.
And then I'll put the grow piece into that right? So then obviously the next piece that we were doing is what we did in our student ministry, and this sounds so lame when I think about the name that we called it, but we called them mom and pop groups. And we would have an older student, like a junior and a senior, and they had to apply for it. They were our ministry-oriented kids that had, not like, hey, they were going into ministry, but they really had a heart to be ministry-minded.
Yeah.
And they were focused on...
They're in that grow, multiply
kind of phase.
And
so we actually, they would do these groups, the guy with the guy and the girls with girls, but they at first they'd all be together, and then they would have an adult who was kind of what we called the dad of the group or the mom of the group.
Yeah.
And so that in case kids kind of got into some things they needed some help with, but it really focused those kids on helping them take their faith and begin to pass it down to that younger generation. And students didn't have to come to those mom and pop groups. We did them on Sunday nights.
They were opt-in, opt-out,
but they had a specific time and they ended at a specific time. So there was it wasn't like indefinite forever.
And so that would be like the grow section.
That would be like the grow.
And that's
that smaller, it's when you talk about, so you have a small group and then you have an even smaller group.
That's that third C.
Called which we call cell or micro groups.
Yeah.
And it's where, you know, you've got someone intentionally pouring in and investing. And I think this is where, you know, even as leaders, you know, I know that you might even have some leaders who are serving in Connect, maybe who haven't been through a grow group yet.
Well, Kristen Wheeler's taken like 6 or 8 of our adult volunteers through the first book this summer. So
love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And you know, however we can help facilitate that.
Yeah, reach out. Because
we want you know, Connect group leaders obviously to be living at that level so that they can be, because you can't take anybody where you've not been yourself.
Yeah, and like, you know, sometimes people don't maybe have like the bandwidth, like they can give us Sunday morning and that's it, like they travel during the week or whatever the case might be. But in theory, like in that 3C model, you're sitting in a Connect group, you got kids of all different demographics, some that are forced to be there by mom and dad, and others that are completely dialed in.
Right.
And you as Connect group leaders, you know who those kids are that are dialed in, and those are the ones that we would encourage you to either take them through the Grow series yourself or start pushing or challenging them to find an opportunity to do that.
100%. I love that, because, again, and I think we all do, we know in our Connect groups who's dialed in and who's not. What we called was the word popping. We called it popping.
Like a popcorn analogy.
Like popcorn, yeah. And so if we could see, because we always said, hey, connect groups are like a incubator in, you know, or a hothouse. And boy, once you start seeing a kid starting to really want more, or after more is what we called it. Actually, we had a better acronym than that, but but I won't share it here. But anyway.
All the people are going to want to know. They're going to be desperate.
So then we would scoop them up, and we would get them into those mom and pop groups.
Yeah.
And it was a blast.
Now, here's a question I have, all right? And it's going to come from a place of negativity, but don't take it that way. It's just the only way I know how to ask it. So does that mean that there's, like, less accountability or less spiritual focus in a connect group if really, like, we're saying the real pressure cooker is, like, that grow phase? Like, is connect group, like, meant to be grow light, or is the curriculum meant to be a little bit more basic or entry level? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't, and that's always the question we used to always get. And I think what it is it's, you're still opening God's word.
Yep.
You're still having conversation wrapped around the biblical truth.
Yeah.
Right. And you're still
God's word never returns void.
Never returns
void. So if you're,
But you are probably more going to be more conversational and discussion oriented, whereas in the grow group, though there is conversation and discussion, it's really centered on how do I really take those things and begin to instill them deep within me, and I'm starting to become responsible for
my own faith
and, character, and the having that character and competencies.
And in a grow like setting, you might ask like really intense or like personal accountability type questions as those come up naturally.
So in a connect group, hey, if you show up on a Sunday, great. If you don't, I mean, we want you there, but you may not.
Well, we're like, hey, prayer requests, and they can say pass, and it's fine, and we're gonna let them pass. Or and then in a grow group, conversely, like, hey, who's your friend that you're praying for? And like, did you invite them to the last outreach event?
Yeah.
Why or why not? Like, really, a lot more targeted, not meant to be mean, but
accountability, and a lot more what I would call positive peer pressure to really help you. I mean, my grow group that I have right now, man, those guys mean the world to me.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time together, even not only inside of our group, but even outside the group. Mm. I spend a lot of time, you know, I'm with each of them at least once a month with a breakfast or a lunch.
Yeah.
They've traveled with me because, you know, I do quite a bit of traveling.
Yeah.
So they're on the road with me. In fact, one of them was just with me in Nepal.
Nice.
So, you know, one went with me to Montreal. But it gives me an opportunity to really do some things outside of things and really get more vested in their life. I'm one of them. I was just at his kid's baseball game. So it's just, you know, it's this constant thing where, you know,
we're spending time with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so then the last thing being multiply, this has always been one of the trickiest ones, not because I don't get it, but because to get a student at that level who is responsible enough to be handed, you know, hey, here's an opportunity to multiply, or even just take on the mantle of what that takes while still being in high school is always tricky, right?
It is, because kids' lives are pretty...
More busy than mine.
Yeah, and they're complicated, right? And sometimes I can't expect a 14, 15, though I want sometimes a 14 and 15, 16, 17-year-old
to be multiplying their life.
Yeah, they sometimes don't always use their noggin all the time and make just some difficult choices.
So. But the opportunity though, right, is like students, especially those that are going to like school, like they have so many more opportunities and they're around so many more people. Like their mission field, you know, if only they realize like now that I'm an adult, like I don't have any friends. So like you look at all this chance you got here, man. There's so much opportunity. If I could go back and you know, talk to my high school self. That's what I would tell myself. Like, don't squander
this.
I think
all the years in our student ministry, I think we never got above maybe 10 or 12% of our kids that were really proven what I would call a proven multiplier.
Yeah.
I mean, they might step their toe into it and then pull back and forth. But I mean, but it took time. But I think partly where we were focused on too was, did we have adult ministry leaders, volunteers?
This is the bait and switch.
Who were really heart, you know, heart deep about being a multiplier.
Yeah.
And investing their life, and they did it through you know, they did it through their students, but they also were vested in people in people's lives outside even that student world as well.
Well, and like what hopefully you hear is if you're leading a Connect group and you have kids that might be interested in going through something, like reach out, let us know. Like we'd be happy to help facilitate that. And we've even been able to find like rooms and space and time for that to happen like on Wednesday night while main programming is happening. Because if the students ready to start multiplying their life, like it's a, we're okay with them stepping out of that big room, crazy, extreme bingo environment to go do that.
100%, right? Because we know it's in an environment like that where if they go into a grow environment that, man, they're going to really be challenged to take on the character and the competencies of Jesus, which is really going to be transformational.
Yeah.
And then when they come back into this environment, then they see it from a very different perspective.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, story time?
Yeah, story
time. You got one? Did you think of one? Or
oh, man.
Is it back to me?
Well, you know, I'm going to pitch it to you, but I might have a story because thousands right, we'll of see. Them. But
so
I was the one you were doing about the... Have you ever told the one about the crawdad?
No, I'm going to tell right now.
That's such a good
story. So I was telling him, I grew up in the era of like gross youth ministry. Like I drank Pepsi through a sock one time and then I had to trade it with the person to my left and drink it through their sock.
Hey, can I tell you this? Go ahead. So Don actually, so I had put peanut, we did a gross skit too, like I had put peanut butter on my armpits. You can even ask her about this. And she took a piece of bread and wiped that bread
Your
on
wife?
My pits and Bro. Ate it.
She would never know.
No, she'd never do that. No.
But yeah, so no, but I grew up in that like era. But then as a youth pastor, you know, like when I started doing it 15 years ago, like felt like that sort of like gross era was sort of trying to die down a little bit, or at least like, hey, be nice to these kids. but my dad, you know, he's probably a little older than you. So he definitely was like square in that era. And I would always do summer camp with my dad's church for a lot of years. And so I never knew what he was going to do. He was always the wild card. So I got him up there one night to play a game. And like two nights earlier, we had played a game, Bigger or Better. So we sent every kid out with a penny.
Yes.
And they had to go all throughout the campground because there were other groups there, not just our group, and during camp. And they had to bring, you know, make a trade, a penny for something bigger or better, then take that thing, bigger or better, and come back an hour later. And one group brought back a bucket, like a clear tub of water, and like 10 crawfish or something like that. Like that was their submission. Okay.
Whoa.
And so everyone gets up and they submit all their things. And then we declare a winner, give them points. Just like we do at Cross Creek Students Camp, you know? And then it sits there out in the sun for 2 days. Right. And then, so 2 days later, my dad's running.
I can't imagine the smell.
Oh, it was gross. And my dad's running this game. And I don't remember what the game was, but at the end he was like, there's this crawfish water that we've all been walking past now into the entrance to the auditorium for 2 days. Everyone's ignoring it. He's like, I'll give like a million points. You know, he pulls a Darren Sutton and just gives like the most amount of points. And he says, if you drink it. And so my wife back there as the nurse is like trying to tell him not to do it. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he's ignoring everybody. And so the kids are drinking out of this crawfish thing. They get a million points. The place is disgusted. Everyone's going crazy. Like typical camp vibes, right? Then my favorite part was we started worship next. So everyone's like
bouncing around
and all of a sudden those kids are grabbing their stomach and they're heading to the bathroom.
Dude, it would have been sweet if they had like a Barfarama or
something. Oh my word.
Like Stand By Me, the movie, remember that?
Before my time.
Okay, all right. Well, I just thought of a story.
Okay, all right, hit it.
So it's a quick one. So we were doing some like adventure week deal.
Yeah.
And so the students, I said, hey, after we're done, hey, well, let's go grab something to eat.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm not paying for y'all. You're going to have to pay for yourselves. And so that was because I had no youth ministry budget.
Right.
And so anyway, they all came, and there was two guys that didn't bring any money.
Classic.
We've
all been all there, that, literally right? always.
But, so and none of their friends. And there was just a handful. It was maybe five or six guys. Wouldn't give them any money because they were too cheap and they didn't have enough money themselves. And so, but between the two of them, they had 10 cents. No lie, because at this time you could walk up to like a Burger King and it would tell you, hey, if you wanted an extra slice of cheese or something, it would say 10 cents. They bought a slice of cheese.
That's awesome.
I'm not lying for 10 cents.
There's nothing more youth ministry than that.
They folded it in half and ate it.
Split it.
It's the best.
Split an American single. Yep, that's awesome. All right.
Casey and Joe, by the way.
Shout out to Casey and Joe.
Shout out to
Casey and Joe.
You
have to send this to him if you're still in contact with him.
I think so, yeah. I actually am.
There you go. Perfect. Let's crash land this thing.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. See ya.